Everybody brought their Bibles, right? Right. Turn into Luke chapter 11, please. Now, last week I asked what the last week's message was, and do you remember what the response was? Yeah, a bunch of, I don't know. And then Isaac looked on the CD, and so Isaac, you're out of this game today. So, last week, what was our message? What was the parable? Good Samaritan. All right, everybody remembered. Okay, you knew it was coming, didn't you? And just for bonus points, does anybody remember what the actual sermon title was last week? Yes! Thank you, Reg. He's not looking at a bulletin, is he, Melody? All right, sounds good. Now, not last week, and not the last week, and not the last week, but the week before those last weeks, remember how we talked about the wise man builds his house upon the rock, the foolish man builds his house upon the sand? And just a little review, what's the rock that we build our spiritual house upon? Christ is our foundation. What is the foundation? What is the rock? It has to do with Jesus. What was that, Joe? The Word of God, the teachings of Jesus, right? Isn't that what Jesus says? The wise man who builds his house upon the rock is like the man who heeds my teachings and models his life after that. So, we're looking in Luke chapter 11 today. And once again, here in this verses 14 through 28, we find that Jesus basically is saying the same thing again. And we'll get to that in 28. And this is, it's not really a parable. It's just a teaching that as I was studying this week, it really came out at me. There were some really good charges in here that I've really, you know, have overlooked so easily in the past. So we're going to read 14 through 28, and then we're going to go back and we're going to study it a little bit. So starting in Luke chapter 11, verse 14, it says, Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. When the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. But some of them said, by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he is driving out demons. Others tested him by asking for a sign from heaven. Now Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebub. Now if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your followers drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divided up his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there, and the final condition of the man is worse than that of the first. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, blessed is your mother who gave you birth and nursed you. He replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Let's go all the way back to verses 14. So what we have here, Jesus was driving out a demon, and when the demon left, the man who spoke, and the crowds were just amazed. Now the religious leaders, you guys know the feud between Christ and them, because Jesus is doing things that only their people are supposed to do. And not only that, but Jesus is doing things different. He's not in their religious elite sect. He's not in their group. And so the crowds, seeing Jesus, are just amazed at what he can do. And so usually the religious leaders, they try to trap him somehow. They try to discredit him. They don't try to discredit a miracle this time. It's very obvious that Jesus took this demon out of this man because the crowd, they knew this man since it says that they this man that they have known, all of a sudden can speak. And so instead of the religious leaders trying to say, hey, you know, he didn't really drive out that demon. This man is just playing a joke. He's in with Christ. They try to discredit Jesus by saying that he's on Satan's side. What do they say? By Beelzebub, he's driving out the demons. And Beelzebub is the prince of demons. Now, and just imagine Jesus, you know, they throw this accusation. Now, of course, they're always kind of fishing, right? Always throwing out some pretty weak stuff to just try to trip Jesus up. And Jesus, I just imagine him kind of stopping Are you serious? He goes on, his answers to this accusation kind of sounds to me like, what a stupid thing to say. Obviously, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. A kingdom upon civil war, what happens when there's a civil war? You're divided. You can't stand. Why would Satan be driving out demons, driving out his own kind, by his own power? Why would he do that? And so that's his answer to that. And continuing, he also says that, now if I drive out by Beelzebub, whom do your followers drive them out? Because the religious leaders have guys who also have this power, the ability to drive out demons. So he's saying, so if I'm driving them out by Satan, then your guys are driving them out by Satan too. So that's not right either. So he takes care of that discredit right there. Of course, you know, he always does. I don't know why these guys haven't just given up yet. So Jesus, he just takes care of that. What a stupid thing to say, basically. And continuing on in 19, actually continue on, yeah, 19 through 22. Let's look at 21 through 22. It says, when a strong man fully armed guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. So Jesus is saying, what he's saying here, he's teaching about himself. He's saying, okay, you just saw the way I drove out that demon. Satan has control of the world. He's the strong man that Jesus is talking about. He's got his armor and nobody can get to him. But then along comes a stronger man. It's kind of like my brother and me. My brother would be the weaker, I would be the stronger, right? Uh-huh. My whole life. That's the only thing that keeps me going. So what Jesus is saying, okay, he was the strong man. Here comes me. I am the stronger man. I just take away his things, and all of a sudden, he's overpowered. So what he's saying is, I am stronger, and I am here to take over that man. He's basically saying, hey, the kingdom has arrived. First, he says that if I'm driving out demons, then I'm doing it by the finger of God for the kingdom of God. And then he tells this little John about the stronger man. He says, that's me. The kingdom of God has arrived. And so basically, instead of just saying, hey, you guys, I'm the Messiah, I'm the kingdom of God, he kind of puts it in this way. Because, you know, he tends to do that with the Pharisees because he doesn't want to die just yet. He's got more work to do. So he still has to be careful in what he says. Continuing on in Verse 23 is one of the verses that stuck out to me the most in this scripture. It's not really a parable, but what Jesus says here is just so powerful. And so many times, if it's not a parable that I'm trying to figure out, sometimes I just skip right over some of the things he says. But it's verse 23, he just lays it out, like Rick said about his dogs. It's black and white. He says, he who is not with me is against me. Okay. Why is that so important? What's he saying? What he's saying is that when it comes to Jesus and when it comes to the devil, there is no neutral ground. You can't go through life not believing in either and then come on your judgment day and say, well, I didn't accept Christ, but hey, I didn't really accept the devil either. You've got a neutral heaven for me? No. On judgment day, that's not what we can answer. And it's not, did you choose Christ or not? It's, do you belong to me? Do you belong to God or do you belong to him? This is so interesting to me because the world teaches just about the exact opposite, right? You can do this or you can do this, but hey, you can do this over here too and you'll be okay, right? Don't you think that's kind of the tactics of the devil? No, don't get involved. It's okay. Just sit there. Those lies that he tries to teach us is that, hey, you can just sit there. But that's not true. Jesus says, you're either with me or you're against me. And if you don't choose me, you're automatically not with me, right? Wow, what a strong verse. What an opposite teaching of what the world tries to ingrain into us. But you know, that's not the only charge in that verse. Did you catch that? You probably would have if I would have read the whole thing, right? It says, he who's not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. That's the second charge. So it's first, if you don't belong to me, you in turn belong to him. Second, he who does not gather with me scatters. If you're not working with me, you're working against me. Isn't that kind of the gathering, scattering thing? If you're a farmer, you understand the analogy really well. Some of you have combines that are supposed to gather, but they also scatter, you know, pheasant feeders. I heard somebody refer to a gleaner as that, so, but I won't tell that to Chuck Nichols because he's got one. What does this mean? It says that Christ wants you, Christ wants us, he wants those who belong to him to be in motion with him. Isn't everything that Jesus teaches an action, right? Everything that he teaches is an action. It's not just believe it, but it's something that requires doing. They're saying, if you're with me, you've got to work with me. You can't just sit along the sidelines because you know what's happening? You're scattering. You're not helping me out. You're with me or you're against me. You're scattering or you're gathering with me. Now, gathering, what are we gathering? I think that's kind of an easy question, right? Aren't we gathering other believers? Remember we talked about Paul and how he claims the race and how we talked about my cross-country days and how good I was on JV. And you can jump in that race at any time, and that's our job, is to help people pull into the race so that they can know there's a race and run the race and run along with them so that they can finish the race. That's what we're doing. Now, that's just completely different than what the world teaches. Here, Christ is not saying you need to just be with me, but you need to be working with me. And he goes on and he talks about that in verse 24. Now, this is a little passage of scripture also that really struck me because I didn't really get it for the longest time. I didn't get what he was saying, and it speaks to everyone here if we understand it. In verse 24, it says, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there, and the final condition of that man is worse than the first. How many people here have ever been convicted? I hope everybody's been convicted in something. I've been convicted so many times in my life, and what do? I get on these holy kicks. You guys know what a holy kick is? It's like, okay, this is sin. It's out. I'm good. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm like the man who sent out the demon, and I cleaned out my house. And then you go for a little while, and then stuff starts to come back in, right? It says that demon's going to come back, and he's going to come back, and he's going to get seven others. So there's going to be eight of them, and you're going to be that much worse off. What does that mean? It means it's not just good enough to be convicted and to purge yourself. It means you also have to fill yourself. Something has to take its place. How many times have we done that? You don't have to raise your hand. I will. I've done that a lot of times. I can't put it all on this hand. We need to understand that we are born into sin. And as we are convicted and as we change and as we put that out, it's very important that you fill yourself with the Word. It's very important that you fill yourself with Christ. You cannot expect to overcome any sin without Jesus Christ. You cannot do it. No matter what sin it is, you cannot do it. And then at the very end, in chapter 27, as Jesus was saying these things, a woman calls out, and you know, she's probably a very wise woman, and I'm thinking, she's like, man, blessed is your mom who gave you birth and nursed you because of who you are. She must be extremely blessed, right? You would think that the mother of Jesus would be extremely, extremely blessed. And what does Christ say? It's like, doesn't even say, sorry, mom, but no, he says, no, rather than, blessed are those who hear the word of God and do it. Now, isn't that kind of what he's been teaching all along? The wise man is the one who builds his house upon the teachings of Christ. Blessed more is the mother of Jesus Christ, is the person who does the word of God, who does what the word of God says. Jesus replies, no, blessed are those who live these teachings. Now, Jesus, I think that this message is in some ways, it's well, obviously it's a very black and white message. There's no in between. Did we catch that? It's also a very simple message, but at the same time, it's also a hard message because it goes against everything that the world teaches. Now, Jesus is asking us to look deep. And I'm going to ask you to look deep within yourselves, just as I have to look deep within myself. Whom do you belong to? Seriously, whom do you belong to? You can't be in the middle. There are only two choices. Do we belong to the one who is the light of eternity, or to he who is the darkness of death? Whom do we belong to, and whom are we working for in this life? And if we're working for ourselves, I'm sorry, that's not the right answer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that your message would just permeate our hearts this morning. As humans in the world, it is just so easy to get our focus mixed up and off of you and off of that. This is your world, and that there are only two choices, that there is no middle ground, and that if we are not working with Christ, we are working against Christ. And if we have not chosen Christ, in turn, we have chosen death. Give us the courage, Lord. Give us the strength to live out these words, to fill ourselves with you, fill ourselves with your teachings, and to heed them and be blessed in this life. Amen.